Blog Talk Radio.
Contending for Truth Radio, the Free Don Miller Show. We've been doing this for a couple of years now, and let me tell you, it doesn't change each week. Each week, there's always something new going on. We're going to discuss some of those things. I've had a good day. Let me tell you this: I've had a good day. We've accomplished a few things today. I made a really neat connection on accident, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But we put the story out each week as I do, and each week as Stephanie and Steve and Bob and Tammy and Lisa and Barb and Kim and Dave, everybody is always talking about this case. And each week, more and more people find out about it. And sometimes it's some person just sits in their living room and listens to Blog Talk Radio or posts on Facebook. Sometimes it's people that have a big voice And it's not important whether they're big or whether they're small. What's important is that each week more and more people find out about this horrendous situation in Hurley, Wisconsin. And I'm going to be, for the most part, flying by the seat of my pants tonight. We want to keep Tammy Silver big time in our prayers. We really, really want to keep her in our prayers. Let me tell you, folks, she's having some health problems, and she's strong, and she is a fighter, and I'm a firm believer that she's going to be just fine. I really am. I'm a firm believer that she is going to be just fine. But she's going to have some surgery up here coming up very, very, very soon. And hopefully soon, maybe next week, she'll be back with us because we really miss her. We miss her input on the show. We miss her passion, but we want to keep her in our prayers. She's priceless to this movement. She's priceless to this case. She's priceless to this, the pressing and the keeping on that we're doing. You know, this blog talk has been something that has been fascinating for me. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I hate that because I say 20 years ago, and I've been saying 20 years for a decade. It's been 30 years ago. 30 years ago, when I was a teenager, a local congregation that I attended occasionally, broadcast on the radio Sunday morning. They broadcast their Sunday morning service on the radio. And at the church building, there were thousands of dollars worth of equipment. KTIP Radio, one of our best local stations here in my area, KTIP Radio. They had all their equipment, and it had to patch in, and it cost a whole lot of money each month. And the equipment, it only reached just this area, my county that I live in, Tulare County. It only reached, you know, so many people, and only those that were listening to the radio. But with Blog Talk, people from around the world, listen, people from around the world, anybody with a computer and internet access can listen to this show. We would like to welcome the administration. We understand that they might be listening. But anybody can listen. And you know what's really neat is some of you that are listening right now, in fact, a good bulk of you that are listening right now, are listening in the archives. Not only can we broadcast it, you can turn around and listen to it again and again. And let me tell you, 5 years from now, you can turn around and listen to this show, this particular show we're doing. It's archived. It's going to stay archived. And I'm doing this from my cell phone. Anybody that listens to my shows know that I do them from my back patio. I've got my laptop set out here, and I do this on my cell phone. And it's a great thing. And there's other areas of social media. Our world has changed so much in just the last few years. I'm working on almost up to 1,000 Facebook friends, people that I'm in contact with. I'm in contact every day, discussion with a whole bunch of people. You know, Barb Simcoe and I roust about back and forth each day, and Tammy and Steve and Bob and many other friends that are involved in many other things. I've got my co-host from last night's show, Parental Sovereignty. We've got a very passionate show. Join us on Tuesday nights if you can. Jennifer Montrose and Stacey Tobush down in Alabama, fighting for the right of parents to make their decisions about their children. I talk with these people every day on the internet and communicate with them, and it's a great world we live in, and we use it. We're using it. Every week we're using it. It seems like yesterday that I was looking for the first time at the Don Miller case. We had been doing conservative arcane coast to coast with Bob Green and Steve Williams, and they kept saying, you want to check out Free Don Miller, and I kept seeing the banner at the top of the underground hard drive, Free Don Miller, Free Don Miller, Free Don Miller. And let me tell you, I will never ever forget the day that I sat and got my phone out, opened up Blog Talk, and started listening. And I started at the time, and that was a couple of years ago, I started listening to their latest episode that they had done, and I was fascinated. I was hooked. So when it got all done, you know, I went to the next show back. The show from 2 weeks before that. Then the show from 3 weeks before that. And I spent most of the day listening to the archived shows. And I heard interviews of different people, and I heard Bob's passion and Steve's passion. I heard them get angry and upset. I heard them get frustrated. And I kept listening. The following week, I called in. And there has not been a day that has gone by, no matter how busy it gets, that they don't think about Don Miller. And then as a little bit further we went on, I got to know a little bit better. I got to know Pat and Norm and Kim and some of the different people, some of Don's friends in Hurley, Wisconsin. And as I got to listen a little bit further, I got to know some other people like Lippy, Maddie, and Bruni. Now, Sheriff Bruni, I know you might be listening, too. I have only gotten to know you the last 2 weeks. You know, I understand that Steve and Bob were kind of hoping that you would do the right thing, really hoping that you would do the right thing. And we're going to talk a little bit tonight about the right thing, the right thing. But I've gotten to know these characters, and I've never met them. I've never had communication with Judge Maddie, Judge Ricky Maddie. And I've never had communication with D.A. Lipsky. But boy, have I gotten to know them. And the more I get to know them, oh my goodness, I scratch my head. Boy, the last couple of weeks, I've gotten to know more and more about Judge Ricky Madden. And all I have only one word to say. And I hope this is one of the ones you're listening to, Judge Madden. Shame. Shame. I would think that if I ever ran into you face to face and you knew who I was, that the first thing you would do is look to the ground. I know that if I were you and you were me and I saw me coming, I would look at the ground. I would feel ashamed. The problem is that I really don't think you feel any shame. I don't think you do. I think Lipsky, I think you should probably do the same thing. And I've made it very clear, I believe your character flaws are in two different directions. I think Judge Madden, I just think you're a narcissist. I think it's all about you. Lipsky, I think it's just sheer weakness. I just think you're a weak man. I think you know what you're supposed to do. I think you know what you're supposed to stand up and do. I think you know what the right thing is and are just too weak to do it. Judge Madden, you're just a narcissist, my buddy. You're just a narcissist. It's all about you. Everything's all about you, I believe, as I look. And as Stephanie from Scotland and Bob Green and Tammy have pulled up some more interesting information over the last few weeks, I just shake my head. If you don't know what narcissism is, look it up. Great article on it in Wikipedia. Basically, a narcissist is a person that they don't think of anything else but themselves. It's all about them. And they'll act like they care about you, but if they don't get something out of it themselves, then it's all about them. I believe that when you decided you wanted to be a judge, it was to make you feel good. And the thing is we put a little bit of psychology into this. What that says is you're lacking something. That, you know, a narcissist is generally a narcissist because really they've got a very low self-esteem of themselves. So they have to build themselves up somehow. You know, a good illustration of this is somebody that bullies somebody. You know, you got the bully on the playground, and he's always teasing somebody else. He's always trying to tear somebody else down or put somebody else down. People don't do that except to lift themselves up because they think if they push somebody else down, it inflates them up. That's narcissism, and I believe that. Sheriff Bruno, I'm not quite sure what to think about you yet. I really don't. I do know that you've stolen $40,000 from the people of Hurley. And when you got caught, you said, "But I didn't know it was against the law." And I'm going to be saying this. I'm going to be laughing about this. In fact, the other day I was telling a friend about this, and I got to laughing so hard You know, if you weren't a sheriff, if you were just some guy out in some other career, it'd be different. But you spent your life telling people. It doesn't matter if you knew it was illegal or not. You're still in trouble. Wow. You know, but my judgment's not quite out on Sheriff Bruno exactly where the big character flaw is, except for the fact that I do know you're a thief. You're a thief, and you're a thief that has not given back. Not giving back what you've stolen. And that's a lot of money. You know, that came right out of the pockets of the taxpayers in Hurley, Wisconsin. That comes right out of the taxpayers' fund that's supposed to go and help other people. You've got poor people and you've got other situations that need to be taken care of. You know, that sounds like a pretty good paycheck for somebody working for the county or the city. Looks, that's a lot of money, and you're just a thief. But we've all stolen things in our lives. I don't think there's probably anybody here that hasn't stolen anything. I think I told the story one time when I was a little kid. I stole some lifesavers from the little store at the lodge in Yosemite. I was staying with my grandparents, and I got up there and like a dummy, I left them in my pocket, and then my grandmother was going through my clothes the next day and found those lifesavers, and I got my butt spanked. And then I was taken by the hand. I was about 11, 12 years old. I was taken by the hand down to the checkout. And I had to hand the lady at the checkout the lifesavers. And my grandmother told me, you need to tell her you're sorry. And I did. And I, in tears, I said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done this. And I won't do it again. And you know what was really, really neat? Was after it was all over, my grandparents, as we were riding back to the camp, they were both so proud of me. They were both so proud of me for standing up, admitting my mistake, apologizing, and doing the right thing. We're going to make tonight the theme, doing the right thing. You know, we live in a world where, man, we're dominant here. And every one of us that are listening are flawed. We all have our mistakes. Let me tell you, Steve and Bob and I and all of us that are involved in this, Pat and Norm and everybody, we've all made mistakes. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But I tell you one thing, there is a difference between people making mistakes and doing the wrong thing and people making mistakes and trying to do the right thing. You know, when an alcoholic decides that he's had enough, or a drug addict, they've decided that they've had enough, and they decide they're going to go to AA. One of the first things that they're taught is you need to do the right thing. As they go through the 12 steps, one of the things is go back and make amends. Go back and verbalize, say, I'm sorry, I blew it, and do the right thing. Try and fix it. Because until you do that, you cannot get rid of your problem. Now, Judge Man, I'm not quite sure what your drinking problem is today. I know that you've admitted to one a decade ago, but I would imagine you're still having a problem with it. And I'm going to tell you why you're having a problem with it. It's really, really simple. You are going to continue to have a problem with it until you start trying to do the right thing, until you start accepting responsibility for your mistakes. You know, you're a judge. That's what you're supposed to be looking for in the people that stand before you. How can those people be expected to follow your example? How can they be? You know, I got word today that there's a lot of research being done in how to seal a case in Wisconsin. And, you know, I am really, really, really hoping that Judge Madden, you try and seal this. I really am. That might surprise you. Because number one, I know that there's enough of the information of the case is already out. It doesn't matter if you seal it or not. But if you do, that is the last chink in the armor of a cover-up. Now, you started that cover-up when you tried to get us to be quiet, when you tried to tread on my Second Amendment rights. I mean, sorry, my First Amendment rights. Okay, get my amendments there. When you tried to say, you know, no more blog talk if we let Don out. No more talking about the case. Take the website down. Quit discussing it on social media. You've got to cut out the internet activity. You want to let Don out. Well, number one, I would call that blackmail. That's what I would call it. See, I call a spade a spade. I know that gets me in trouble sometimes, but I call a spade a spade. That was blackmail. And it was also illegal. It was also illegal. Maybe not by Wisconsin state law, but constitutional law. And I respect that constitution because I'm going to tell you, in the summer of 1787, when James Madison and Alexander Hamilton and George Washington and all of the representatives from the colonies at the time gathered together in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, in that hot room, you know, they didn't have air conditioning back then, you know, and gathered around and discussed the issues, discussed slavery and how to count, how to represent slaves and how to represent the big states and the small states. And they come up with our three branches of government, and they come up with that constitution. They did a fantastic job. They worked hard at it. They did it for a reason. And let me tell you, Judge Madden, I just dare you to try and step on our constitutional rights again. In fact, I would love it if you did. Because every time you do, you just get yourself in deeper and deeper and deeper. Yeah, instead, you need to be doing the right thing. Now, let me tell you. We've talked about my nieces. I teach them every day. Do the right thing. Admit when you're wrong. Try and fix it when you've wronged somebody. You know, when one of the kids gets flippy with their mother, they don't speak right or they don't do what they're told, the first thing I do when I am done dealing with whatever kind of discipline they may be having, maybe they're just coming out of their room after 20 minutes, the very first thing that I ever do is tell them to go out there and apologize to your mother. Go out there and apologize to your mother. Why? Because I'm mean? Why? Let me tell you, all the listeners, I think you all know that. It's called doing the right thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you right now, we've got three people in Hurley, Wisconsin, who are not doing the right thing. But you're gonna. Because I'm gonna tell you, there's a team of people doing the right thing. And that's my opening rant. Doing the right thing. You know, as I sit here and each week I pace back and forth and I come out here and I look across the street and I look at the beautiful mountains in front of me. And I see and I listen to the birds. I see the cows, the squirrels. I think of what Don is doing right now. He's in prison. A blatantly innocent man in prison. And I've often said on this show, I have said on this show a zillion times, I'm not going to stop until Judge Madden's in prison himself. But I'm going to tell you something else I want to see. I want to see on camera Judge Madden, D.A. Lipsky, and Sheriff Bruno standing in front of Don Miller and apologizing to him and saying, "We're sorry, we did not do the right thing. We let you rot in prison while you were innocent. I want to see you do the right thing." I've also said a zillion times on this show, if you would do the right thing, I would be the first one to stand up. I would be the first one to stand up and say thank you. I just have a funny feeling I'm getting to be like Steve. You know, Steve has said on this show many times, I'm losing patience. I'm losing my confidence. I'm starting to agree. I am starting to realize that you guys are not going to do the right thing. But that's all right, because we got a team of people all over the country working on this. And you're going to do the right thing, one way or the other. We are putting out the word. It is sunny and shining in Michigan and Wisconsin and in Minnesota. Finally, Bob Simcoe finally got the snow turned off. And let me tell you, folks, we have been praying hard at Contending for Truth Radio for the snow to stop in Hurley, Wisconsin, so we can get the ground troops out. And I've seen pictures, folks. The snow is gone. As I sit here and I watch the cars go back and forth, I look at my beautiful weather and I realize that the weather's catching up back there. The ground troops are going to start moving. And I am a firm believer that by this Christmas, we're going to get Don Miller out, and he's going to be sitting on the couch with his mom and dad. He's going to be sitting on that couch by Christmas. You know, this afternoon I made a really, really great contact. There is a new news station coming to America called One America. And I made a great contact with one of the producers today and worked on trying to help her make a contact with a person here in California. And I was talking with her at the end when we were discussing some different things. And I said, by the way, check this out. Check this out. We got Jesse Waters on it. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesse Waters and Bill O'Reilly are going to know about this because we're making sure. We got people all over the country posting, trying to get Jesse Waters to get his camera and get it in your face, Judge Madden. We're working really hard on getting Bill Windsor on this show. As soon as we find out and we're close, I know it's got to be getting close, because Judge Madden, I know you've got to be the worst judge in America, and I know you're going to win that contest, and I know you're going to get your own music video. Going to happen, folks. But all you got to do is do the right thing. All you got to do is do the right thing. Boy, how do we take up 30 minutes already? Folks, since I'm doing this pretty much, at least for the first hour, by myself, I'm going to take a couple of minutes break. I'm going to play Keep On Keeping On again. My good friend D. Rock Country wrote, produced, and sang this song. Excuse me. And each week we use it because it is the mantra of this. We are not stopping. Not only are we not stopping, the force is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. This afternoon while I was doing some things, I didn't even realize how many people had been paying attention to this of my friends. I got a lot of friends on Facebook. I didn't know how many of them really had some strong feelings about this. I mean, I know every week they see my posts. I know that as many posts as I've put over the last 2 years, most everybody has had to have at least seen the name Don Miller. I've had the banner over the top of my page. My profile picture many times is Don Miller. I was really surprised at how many. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to the words of this song. Because one of the doing the right things, one of those right things is jumping hurdles. Jumping hurdles, folks. And I want to leave you with that. I'll be back in 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, and we are going to discuss jumping hurdles.
Just go on, make you wanna holler and shout and throw your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can't get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down in time.
For Truth Radio, the Free Don Miller Show. As we continue on, I promise you we're going to talk about jumping over hurdles. You know, I'm a big believer that the foundation of almost everything we do is about jumping hurdles. We've always got only two choices in life. Because our life is full of hurdles, no matter what we start. You know, like we talked about last night, a baby's born, and what's the first hurdle? They got to breathe. The doctor spanks him on the butt to get him to breathe. The first thing the kid comes out and says, What did I do? I'm already in trouble. And then as a baby goes through life, it's all about hurdles. There's things in life, and we come to decisions that we've got to make, and we've either got a right way or a wrong way to do it. And as we go through life, no matter how old we get, we've got hurdles that we have to jump over, whether they be getting married or getting divorced or having children or dealing with children or our job or the car. You know, you get up every once in a while and the car doesn't work. There's a hurdle you got to jump over. And you've got only two choices. There are only two choices. Either you jump the hurdle or you don't jump the hurdle. Now, how some people don't jump the hurdle is they either lay down and cry in front of it or they try and remove the hurdle or they ask somebody else to jump the hurdle. But the thing is about hurdle jumping is it was set up a certain way. The more hurdles you jump, the stronger you get. But if you lay down in front of your hurdles and you cry, or you remove the hurdle or get rid of the hurdle or you walk around the hurdle, you don't get strength out of it. See, we were talking last night, a good friend of mine, his brother's in getting ready to get a divorce, and he's just giving up. He's just giving up. And you know, sometimes I understand that sometimes two people just you get to a point where you just think you can't accomplish anything. But you know, if they would take each other hand in hand and go, okay, we're going to work through this. We're going to do anything and everything it takes to work through this. The magical thing is, on the other side of the hurdle, if they make it onto the other side of the hurdle, they're going to have a stronger marriage, right? We're going to have a stronger marriage. And we could use that illustration for everything that we come forward to in life. I made it a very important point to teach my nieces how to swim, because I don't want to worry about them drowning. That horrifies me, that concept. So I made sure each one of them, when they were little, to teach them how to swim. And now my oldest niece, oh boy, she's a good swimmer. And my middle niece, she's getting really, really good. And my youngest niece hasn't got there yet, but she's working on it. She's learning. When you teach a child how to swim, it's really actually an easy process logistically. It's just difficult for the child. You've got to get them to where they can put their face in the water. You've got to get them where they overcome their fears to be able to get their face wet. Once they learn that they can put their face in the water and they're okay, the swimming part actually comes very, very easily. Got to teach them to jump the hurdle. What's the hurdle? They're afraid. You know, we got a 2-foot pool, and my little youngest niece, she stands up in it, and she's way above the waterline, and I keep telling her, but honey, all you got to do is stand up. If you get stuck, just stand up. Oh, but I'm afraid. And I expect that. I've done this before. And I keep telling her, you got to face your fears. You got to jump your hurdle. Put your face in the water. I know it's hard this time, but next time it'll be a little bit easier, and next time it'll be a little bit easier, and next time it'll be a little bit easier. Madden? Lipsky? Bruno? You need to face your fears, dudes. You need to face your fears. Let's get you on the other side of this stronger. Let's get you on the other side of this stronger. Face your fears. Jump your hurdle. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a bunch of people all over the United States. And let me tell you, Judge Madden, if you think for 5 seconds that you could stop this internet activity, let me tell you, I couldn't stop this internet activity. Ain't going to happen. And I'm going to tell you a story. Last night, I was on Facebook, and I found this great story. Terrible story, actually. Happened in Las Vegas. A woman was in divorce court. And one of the marshals took her into a back room to frisk her just out of the blue for drugs. And she said, no, I'd rather have a female cop at least here. And they came out. They arrested her and put her in jail. Well, and the judge turned around and was not even paying attention to what was going on and just kind of acting like she was ignoring it. And a couple of months went by, and pretty soon the right people found out about it. And now the marshal's been fired, and there is a huge protest going on in Las Vegas. And I'm going to tell you, the Las Vegas Tribune, you guys rock. You guys rock. Because I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to read you the last 3 paragraphs of the story, and I will show you, I will send you the link. We'll post the link. It's on my Facebook page. We'll put it different places. This is the Las Vegas Tribune, and to the Daily Globe, this is where you fools come in. This is where you fools come in. This is the last 3 paragraphs of this article. This is what the Tribune posted. We believe that court hearing Master Patricia Doninger, yeah, another judge that's a fool, should be taken out of her job, not today or tomorrow, but yesterday, if not sooner. Wow, that sounds like it when I talk. If not, perhaps the governor, the secretary of state, and the attorney general should be filled in what's going on. If Steve Rushfield has to go, court hearing master Patricia Doninger also has to go, because it's the fair thing to do for everyone. Otherwise, we are going to do what the Las Vegas Tribune does best. fight for those whose hands are tied and cannot throw the first punch. And do what we did with Judge Donald Mosley's Marshall. We are going to place court hearing master Patricia Doniger on the front page of this newspaper until the big shots at the Regional Justice Center realize that we want what's best for our community, and we are going to show them what is best for our community. It is not court hearing master Patricia Doniger. Wow, you can find that at the LasVegasTribune.net. And all you got to do is look up Patricia Doniger. It's PatriciaDoniger. You just do a quick Google search on her name, and you will find it. Let me tell you something. I am going to be talking tomorrow on the phone to the author of that article. And I'm going to be talking tomorrow on the phone to the Las Vegas Tribune. I guarantee it. Because here's a paper. Here's a paper that's doing the right thing. Makes you fools at the Daily Globe look like imbeciles for not covering this. Because you too, it's your job to protect the community. That's your job. Your job is not to protect the superstructure. Your job is not to protect Judge Madden. Your job is not to protect DA Lipsky. And your job is not to protect Sheriff Bruno. Your job is not to protect the guys that own the strip bars. Your job is not to protect the Judge Lipsky's dad, father-in-law, who owns the rest homes. Which, by the way, it seems that somebody that will remain mentionless got fired this week from one of those rest homes. Daily Globe, it's your job, and you're not doing it. We're getting ready. We're getting ready to make an impact. I'm just telling you right now that we're getting ready to make an impact on the news media in Wisconsin. There is some plans behind the scenes going on, and there are some little special little tidbits and surprises coming up that you will be absolutely amazed at. The planning that's going on. And it's not just you guys at the Globe, let me tell you. There's a whole lot of media. And my favorite word is uncle. And you guys are going to cry, uncle. You guys are going to be down on the mat. Your leg is going to be bent back. And you're going to be smacking the mat going, uncle, uncle. And not Uncle Scotty either. We're going to win this battle. The newspapers are going to do the right thing. I know the newspaper is going to do the right thing. I know that NBC Universal did the right thing. They covered Benghazi. Gotta do the right thing. Daily Globe and everybody else involved, it's time to do the right thing. It's time to jump over your hurdle. I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy when the father-in-law of the DA pays you all kinds of money every year for advertising. I know when you've accidentally knocked down that wall that's supposed to be between the editorial department and the advertising department. I know it's not easy. Globe, face your fears. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. You have to. It's your job. If you don't do the right thing, then you're not doing your job. You too, Daily Globe. You should be looking at the ground. You should be ashamed. You will. Other media organizations are looking at this, and it's going to come out. It's going to come out. I know that I know the process, and let me tell you, it just takes time. I'm a very patient person. I'm a very, very patient person. I believe myself to be a good man. I think it wouldn't have taken very much listening to Blog Talk Radio that, you know, I try and be polite. I'm very tough. But I think there is not a soul around that doesn't know, that knows me, that knows that Ricky Madden, if you turn around and tomorrow did the right thing, I'd be praising you, my friend. I'd say it took you a long time to get there, but it's about time and you did the right thing. And I would say I'm proud of you. Daily Globe, or Daily Globe, I'm going to tell you, you need to do the right thing. You need to do the right thing. And when you do the right thing, I'll be more than happy to say the words, proud of you. You did the right thing. We're going to keep on keeping on. You know, we never tire doing this. We absolutely never tire of doing this. I am going to tell you, Stephanie in Scotland, she is doing the right thing. She's doing the right thing. What does she do? On limited resources, each week, she keeps that website, anatomyofawrongfulconviction.com, up to date. She does research from Scotland. You know, as I've been sharing this, you know, each week with different people, I just shared the story with a new friend that I've got now, with One America, which you'll be hearing about, where I told her I'll be more than happy to help promote One America. One of the things that I always tell them is, you know, what's insane about this case, because there's other cases of other judges, like the one we just discussed in Las Vegas. Shelley Watkins, a friend of mine, her son's got a case with another judge, Patrick. But, you know, the thing is those cases don't span all the way around the world to Scotland. How many local cases, situations like this, do you know where Scotland isn't on top of it? I'm going to tell you, folks, Stephanie rocks. She has put more man hours into this than Stephen, Bob, and I, and Tammy combined. More man hours. Go to her website. Go to anatomyofawrongfulconviction.com. Look at the front page. Look and see what's going on. The latest is there. You know what? She's keeping up on this case and making you guys' Daily Globe look really, really silly, because she seems to always be able to find new stuff to put. Anatomyofawrongfulconviction.com. On Wednesday nights, Free Don Miller couldn't stay away from the underground hard drive very long, let me tell you. And anatomyofawrongfulconviction.com, go there and you'll find out there's a great radio shakeup. See, a few weeks back, Steve and Bob got promoted. they got accepted into Orion Talk Radio, and they bring a show every single night called News Stalker, and it is a great show. Let me tell you, listen to it. Steve and Bob are friends, and so I, you know, I got good things to say about them. But let me tell you what I've always appreciated about them. They keep me laughing. They've known each other for decades. And they have a repertoire between each other that sometimes they almost complete each other's jokes, and they are great entertainment just to listen to, let alone the hard-hitting things. And right as soon as we're done with this show, I would ask you to go to OrionTalkRadio.com. You'll find New Stalker Radio right there on the main page. And what time is it right now? We're sitting in, boy, are we already sitting at almost 6 o'clock. So in about an hour and 10 minutes, they're going to start, and they will be discussing Don Miller. And so when they moved up, we took the free Don Miller show, Tammy and I, brought it to Contending for Truth Radio. We've been doing this for a few weeks now like this. And, you know, the Don Miller show just missed the Underground Hard Drive so bad that now on Wednesday nights on the Underground Hard Drive, the free Don Miller show is back. So the free Don Miller show goes on Wednesday nights with Steve and Bob, and on Thursday nights with Scott and Tammy when Tammy's feeling good. And then it's covered by News Talker Radio. Now, how many bad judges do you know that have got their own three of their own network on internet radio shows? More and more people finding out about it. All you guys got to do is do the right thing. You know, as I look at an anatomy of a wrongful conviction, top headline, Stephen Williams returns to free Don Miller radio on Wednesdays. Meanwhile, in Michigan, public records manipulating local justice and the Belinsky fiasco and Tammy's not here to help me, Go Quebec. I can't ever say it. One of these days I'm going to get to Hurley, Wisconsin. I'm going to have to learn how to say this. Go Quebec County. That's a great, great little tidbit of information. I haven't read it well enough to cover it on the air yet, but I'm going to tell you, go to anatomyofwrongfulconviction.com, open up the PDF, and look at what's going on surrounding Connie Vargovich and her records. Great thing. Then the next headline down there, the great radio shakeup, like I just talked about. Over to the side and look at all of the articles that have been printed. Look at all the things that she's got on there. She has got so much on there. When I talk to people that are in news, in the news media, and I'm very, very fortunate over the last 3 or 4 months, made some great contacts. Boy, I sometimes wish 2 years ago when I first started doing all this, I had the contacts I got now. I've made some contacts with Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, different news organizations, the Washington Examiner, San Francisco Chronicle, and I keep talking and keep talking away. And the one thing that I tell all of them is go, this is a journalist's dream. It's a journalist's dream. Because Stephanie has placed everything there. It's an anthology, folks. And I'm going to tell you, to get you hooked, this is a story, if you've never heard it before, if you're just now for the first time tuning in, go there and look. Because I'm not good at telling this story. I've always admitted that. I'm not good at telling the story. I'm good at talking about character. I'm good at doing the preaching. Bob and Steve, they're great at retelling the story. Tammy, she's great at retelling the story. Susan Aguado, she's got her own story with Judge Madden, but she's great at telling the Don Miller story. I'm not real good at telling the story. I know you're the basics. I get all muddled up on the details. And part of the reason why is because there's so much. I cannot wait for the made-for-TV miniseries to come out so I can watch the whole thing in video and see it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you know nothing about this story, and we know that there's probably some people that right now are listening to this and don't know anything about the story, this story's got more legs than a millipede. You know, in journalism, when a story's got legs, what that means is it's not just the one story. It's got, well, you got this, and then you can go off on this tangent, and you can go off on this tangent, and there's this little detail, and it's got a whole story in its own. I often tell people, you know, if you just look at Stephanie in Scotland and her portion of this, it's incredibly huge, just that special interest. This story's got more legs than a millipede. So if you're in journalism and you're wanting a really good thing to sink your teeth into, let me tell you, it's all there. at Anatomy of a Wrongful Conviction. All of the court records, all of the interviews, all of the blog talk shows, all of the blogs, all of the podcasts, it would take you a year to go through everything. 2 years maybe. But it's all there. The researcher that wants to sit down and find out what this story is all about, it's all there. Folks, these guys need to do the right thing. You know, we really, really do get passionate about this, but I'm going to tell you where I come from. Just a second, I've got a child screaming in the background. Happens occasionally. I'm going to tell you where I come from. You know, I've been off and on in the pulpit since I was 16 years old. First gospel sermon I ever preached was about a character in the Bible named David. And I'm sure most of you, even if you've never even been to church, have heard the story of David and Goliath. A great story. It's got legs. Let me tell you, it's got some legs. You know, that young boy walks up to that giant and he says, I come against you. You come against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, of whom you have defied. This day I will strike you down and cut off your head. I will feed your carcass to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, and on this day the Philistine army will know that there is a God in Israel. And that little boy walked up there after trying on Saul's uniform, and it was too big and too bulky to kneeling. He picked up five small stones, put one in the sling, threw it, hit Goliath in the head, and he fell over. And David did exactly what he said he was going to do. Cut off his head and fed his carcass to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And it's a great story of faith. And let me tell you about David. David had woman problems, man. This guy had some real women problems. His entire life. You know, we start out with, we're looking at David and Bathsheba. And if you don't know the story much deeper than David and Goliath, David, when he becomes king, he looks down and he sees this woman named Bathsheba, and he decides he wants her, and he goes down and he sleeps with her, gets her pregnant, and then he's in a mess because it's not his wife. Her husband Uriah, David, being the commander-in-chief, he tries to get Uriah to go home and spend the weekend with his wife so that maybe he would think it was his kid. Doesn't work because Uriah is a patriot, you see, and he says, I can't do that. We're at war. I've got to focus. And David, a little bit frustrated, then tells his people to go and march up the battle, put Uriah at the front, and then back out. And he did. He had Uriah murdered. And God kind of explains it to him this way. You know, you got a man, and he's got a bunch of sheep. And he looks over and he sees his neighbor, and his neighbor's only got one sheep. And the man goes over there and he takes that sheep. What would you do, David? And David says, off with his head. And then David realized what he had done. And as you go through David's life, we find out that David made a lot of mistakes. He was a mistake maker, man. As we go through his life, we find out, and if you'll read in the book of 2 Samuel, you find the story of King David in the Old Testament. You read through there, you find out he had some major problems, and a lot of them had to do with women. He never overcame them. But you see, King David, God describes him as a man after his own heart. Not only that, he is one of the two major characters in the Old Testament. There are two major, major characters. One is Abraham, because it's the beginning of his family, and it's Abraham's family. And the other is David. And after we go so far in the Old Testament, if you go from Genesis to Ruth, you find the first half of the Old Testament. And then 1 Samuel starts the second half, and that's really the story of David and his family. And it ends also with a book named after a woman called Esther. And you can divide the Old Testament history up into two distinct halves. King David had lots of problems. He made lots of mistakes, but God looked at him as a man after his own heart. Come to the New Testament, we find the major character there wrote most of the New Testament was the Apostle Paul. Well, the Apostle Paul was a murderer. So was David. So you see, it's not about the mistakes. Not about the mistakes. It's about how you handle those mistakes. And boy, those guys were great at handling their mistakes. So, you see, where I come from on this, I, as a believer, as a Christian, I believe that there's an eternal salvation. And as frustrated Lipsky, as frustrated Bruno, as frustrated Maddie, Judge Madden, as I get, the deepest part inside me want you to get your lives right. I want you to handle your mistakes. I want you to turn around and take and handle your mistakes correctly. That's what I want. And I want to see it happen. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in that. I really don't. But neither do the geese next door. But I do. I would like nothing more than for all three of you to go, we blew it, man. We blew it. To grab your mistakes, grab them, grab your boots by the straps, pull them up, march on, and do the right thing. Because it's not about mistakes. It's not about mistakes, folks. It's how you handle those mistakes. It's what you do with those mistakes that counts. Because if you take those mistakes and you use them to make you stronger by jumping over those hurdles, making them correct, you're going to be a better person. If you don't do that, you only end up with weakness. And Hurley, Wisconsin, and Ironwood County deserves better than weak leadership. It deserves strong leadership. Don Miller for sheriff. Don Miller for sheriff. And let me tell you, Judge Madden, you got some crappy things in your past, buddy. So do I. I've done some dumb things. I understand where it has it on the street that you got the problems that come from, you know, you're a man. Men do some dumb things when they're drunk with their zipper and their fly. We all done dumb things. I don't hold that against you. What I do hold against you is you don't seem to have any remorse over it. Maybe a little. Maybe a little because you've been forced to. Maybe because you got found out. You know, you got two different kinds of kids. You got the kid that's got a conscience. You know, my oldest niece has got an incredible conscience. that girl, I'm so proud of her. I'm going to tell you, she sometimes brings up stuff that happened years ago that she did, and she still feels bad about it. And then we've all known kids that the only time they feel bad is when they get caught. Well, it's the same thing with adults. Adults are the same way. I'm that way. You know, when I've done something wrong, oh, I forever kick myself. I've done some dumb things in my life. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when I was in my early 20s, I went streaking in downtown San Diego in the middle of the night after having one too many drinks. Kind of funny now, you know, after a couple of decades have gone by. But I'll tell you what, I woke up the next morning and I was so embarrassed at myself. So why did I do that? You know? Judge Madden, I know you like to go to the strip bars. I mean, that's no secret. It's no secret that you like going to the strip bars. It's no secret. It's no secret that you've got a soft place in your heart for prostitutes. I understand that. But let me tell you, you got to get it right. You can't let your mistakes in your life affect somebody else's life. And you have. For 15 years now, Pat and Norm Miller have been without their son. For the last, 13 years of his life, Kirk Selves went without his dad. You know, we don't say that very often. You know, we talk a lot about Pat and Norm not having their son with them. Well, you know, for 13? I wish Tammy was on here. She could help me. 13 to 14 years, somewhere in there. Kirk Selves didn't have his dad. And it ached him. It ached him to the point where he was willing to commit suicide so that he could help try and get his dad out of this situation. To try and bring national media attention. Come on, Madden. Come on, Bruno. You know, we got good word this week. I got connections that you possibly have started paying attention to what we're doing on here on Ricky Madden's internet activity. Do the right thing, dude. Do the right thing. You know, I've mentioned before, my dad was a deputy sheriff. I've got really good friends. If you heard the motor of the car that just came in and I ran away from the motor of the car, the wife of one of my very good friends here who's in law enforcement. I'm in a group on Facebook that is full of law enforcement. Full of it. Good men. Honorable men. They know about the Free Don Miller Show. They don't know about Sheriff Bruno yet. Do the right thing, Sheriff Bruno. You're supposed to be an example. You know, we're going to go back to the Bible for a minute. We're going to go to the book of Romans. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. You see, the book of Romans was written to a group of people that Paul had not yet met. All of the other letters that he wrote in the New Testament, he had met those people. But he hadn't met the Romans yet. So, excuse me, the book of Romans is written, it's laid out, it's almost like a handbook. They laid out very orderly, as if you would do to a group of people you didn't know. And the rest of his letters, he's addressing issues that have come up. And in chapter 1, Paul talks to the Gentiles, and he tells them, you guys are living this way, and you shouldn't be living this way. Da-da-da-da-da. I mean, he lists a whole bunch of things, including disobedience to parents. But then in chapter 2, he turns from the Gentiles, and he turns to the Jews. The Jewish Christians, those that had been converted to Christianity, and he says, now you guys, don't be sitting over there being all cocky, because you're supposed to be the example to the Gentiles. You're supposed to be the guide to those who are in darkness. You're the guide to the blind. You're supposed to be the light to those who are in darkness. Why do I say that? Sheriff Bruno, you're supposed to be the guide to those who are blind. You're supposed to be the light to those who are in darkness. You are supposed to be the one that everybody looks up to and says, this is how you do the right thing. I'm losing. I'm losing my oldest niece for a couple of days, so let me give her a hug real quick. Be good, sweetheart. I love you. Have fun. Let me tell you, folks, Sheriff Bruno, you got to do the right thing. It is your job to be the example in Hurley, Wisconsin. You've got teenagers and little kids looking up to you. You're not doing the right thing, my friend. It's just a no bueno. That's the no bueno. It means it's not good. You know, folks, it's not hard. The solution to all this is not hard. It's easy. And now we're having to fight. We're having to fight hard because three people in Hurley, Wisconsin won't do the right thing. So you've got to have all this pressure to do the right thing. You guys are acting like a bunch of kids. Children. See, I teach my nieces every day to do the right thing because they're little kids. They don't know that yet. They're learning that. You guys are adults. Older adults. You're supposed to be doing the right thing. And boy, I cannot comprehend. I'm going to tell you right now. I would have done the right thing by now. No matter what it was. I'm going to tell you, if I were Judge Madden, even if I knew I was going to go to prison, I'd have made it right. I would have already made it right. Now, I wouldn't have done some of this horrific stuff in the first place. Changing the final documents in the case and jury manipulation and all of these things, and then the cover-up that you've done over the years. I remember Nixon. It wasn't the break-in, dude. It was the cover-up. And you blatantly, it's a cover-up. When everybody sees the facts, they know that. And like I said, if it's behind the three of you trying to see about getting any of this sealed, I hope you're working on it. I really do, man. Because I'm going to tell you, that means you're sitting there crying in front of your hurdle, and I am going to tell you guys, it doesn't work out well that way. What a case. You know? What a case. As we get to being past the hour, I'm doing this by myself tonight, we're not going to go as long as we normally do, but we're going to keep on keeping on. And I'm going to tell you, I use this format for three real main reasons every Thursday. Number one, I want to spread the story. Number two, I want the main characters in this. I want you to understand, as well as the listener, that really this is basic right and wrong, not complicated. You know, it's like Sheriff Bruno. You steal $40,000 from the community when you're a thief. You're making it right. If you didn't know it was illegal, I understand that. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know every law in the state of California. I wish I did. Now, I know when I pull up to a stop sign that if I don't stop, it's against the law and I can get a ticket. But I couldn't tell you what the law is on how high the sign is supposed to sit. But you see, I don't have to go installing stop signs, do I? All I have to do is stop at them. Folks, we're going to keep on keeping on. We're not going to stop. Tammy's not going to stop. And I would just implore you, again, please, go to the Facebook page. Free Don Miller. All you got to do is go to Facebook and type in that little beautiful search box up there, Free Don Miller. Like the page, comment on the page, look at the page. Recall Judge Madden, type that in up there. Doesn't take long. Oh, I see Jim Zig Ziglar is online. That's somebody I've been wanting to let know about the we're friends, so I'm sure you've seen my post. But I want to know exactly how much. You've heard the name Zig Ziglar, yeah? Another day, another person to tell about this horrific story. Keep on keeping on. Go to the Twitter account. I am Don Miller. Free Don Miller. Follow him. Retweet. Go to an Anatomy of a Wrongful Conviction. All of the links are there. Check out the story for yourself. Read this story. Listen to the podcast. Listen to the back episodes. Listen to other people. I'm good at preaching. I'm not good at storytelling on this story. The whole story's there, and it's insane. It never ends. I'll tell you, there's so many details that it does. It takes 2 years worth of Blog Talk Radio to get it out. Because every week, I'm not going to this week because I'm doing this. I'm flying on my own tonight. But every week, somebody tells me something I hadn't heard before, and I do this daily. I do something for Dawn to help share this story daily. And I still don't know the whole story. I'm looking forward to when the whole country knows about it, if that's what it takes. I'm looking forward to the day that everybody in Wisconsin knows about it, in Michigan. We're getting there, folks. We got a recall coming up. You want to help in that recall? Let us know. We got some billboards on the way. You want to help with that? Let us know. We got something very special brewing in the background. And let me tell you, the march on the capital of Wisconsin with some people wanting to make sure that the story gets out. It's coming, folks. Because the other reason that I do this and the passion, and Norm has said on a number of times, I don't know why you put so much time and effort into this. I'll tell you why, Norm. I'll tell you why, Pat. Because you deserve to have your son home with you. You're innocent. See, I can't go in and hug my mom right now. I lost my mom a decade ago. Early. And I want Don home with his mom and his dad. His brother. His friends. His family. I want Don home. To his community. I want Don Miller to be the sheriff of Ironwood County. And we're going to do everything we can do each week. We are going to keep on keeping on until it ends. We're not going to stop. You know, it's wishful thinking on the part of Maddie to think that the internet activity is ever going to go away. Number one, as we found out in the last few weeks, it doesn't go away. You know that. All you got to do is do this. Do yourself a favor. Do a Google search and Google Judge Patrick J. Madden and see what comes up. And if you really want to really do a good search, I always do an image search. When I'm looking for something, I do an image search because sometimes, you know, you look up a certain thing and you get all kinds of stuff that's not relevant. But really quickly with the pictures, you can see. And if you do a Judge Patrick J. Madden Google search with an image search, you'll see document after document after document. That's what you see. 30 years from now, even if Scott Osborne retired tonight and said no more Blog Talk Radio, You can't erase the internet activity. Can't do it. Folks, this is Contending for Truth Radio, and I'm going to go ahead and sign off. we're going to do this show next week, and we're going to do the show the week after that. We're going to do the show the week after that. But there's a couple more people that I was going to try and get to today. I was going to try and get a hold of the Las Vegas Tribune. And I'm going to do that tonight. I want to start working on that tonight. So I'm going to do that. You know, we got some good shows going on. I already mentioned, you know, last night we've got Parental Sovereignty with Jennifer Montrose and Stacey Taubush and I. We discuss Parental Sovereignty, Parental Sovereignty Radio each week. And on Mondays, when I've got a guest, Mondays are kind of on hiatus a little bit. We're moving to Texas, and I'm doing homeschool this summer, a few weeks of it, to help get the kids caught up a little bit on some different things, get them ahead. And so we're doing a Monday show. We're doing it on a whether it happens or not basis. When I got a guest, and it looks like we'll probably have a guest this week, so we'll do it. But when we don't have a guest, we don't have that show. But each week we do Parental Sovereignty Radio, no matter what. Each week we do the Don Miller Show, unless we've had a couple of times where we've had some real technical difficulties. And tomorrow morning, as we do each week, I gather around Don and Betty's, John and Betty's table, and with the ladies from the church that I go to, and I teach Old Testament in Our Lady's Bible class. And let me tell you, Madden, Lipsky, Bruni, I know you don't like me too much, but I encourage you guys to listen in tomorrow. Listen in. We're going to have a real good show. We're tracing the Old Testament. We're wandering through the Old Testament and telling the stories, and it's an amazing spot where we're at right now. We've got the Israelites. They fled Egypt. The Pharaoh and his army have been washed away in the Red Sea, and we're standing at the base of Mount Sinai. And Sheriff Bruni, guess what? God is about ready to tell Israel with his own voice. Oftentimes, people don't realize that. Sometimes, if you think that Moses just came back down with the Ten Commandments, that's not the way it went. God spoke to the people the Ten Commandments. He also put them on the tablets. And, of course, Moses threw them down the first time and broke them and had to go back up and rewrite them. But God spoke them the first time. And one of the things, Bruni, that he said was, "Thou shalt not steal." Must have been a big thing to God, that stealing thing. Maddie, Judge Madden, another one of the things that he said was, "Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not lie." Another thing that he said was, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor." Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Connie? You know, I don't bring you up a whole lot because to me you're just a sinner running around in this who's, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself too. But it's the system. It's the system that I focus on. You've got to stand before your own God, you know? You really do. But one of the things God says is thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. That means you don't tell things, you don't say that somebody else did something when they didn't do it. God doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, and thou shalt not bear false witness. These are some big ones, folks. You know, after you get past Exodus chapter 20, where you find the Ten Commandments, he goes into the law, and Moses gets the law, and it's a national law, so it's got some health regulations in there. It's got some rules and regulations. You know, it's a fun one. And, you know, if your bull gets out of the pen and gores your neighbor, you know, and nobody knew that the bull was a killer. Every dog gets his first bite, first free bite. But then the next time, hey boy, if you know that he's dangerous and he gets out again as he goes again, you are in big trouble. Interesting things in there. But the big things are right at the beginning in those Ten Commandments. The first four, how to treat God, and the last six, how to treat man. Thou shalt not lie. Sheriff Bruno, thou shalt not steal. Connie, thou shalt not bear false witness. Lipsky, thou shalt not lie. Telling you, folks. So join us tomorrow. I would encourage for Lippy, Maddie, and Bruni to all tune in tomorrow. You might learn something. We're gonna have a good conversation. In fact, I would encourage you. I would even invite you to join in. Because I'm going to tell you, there are some great things going on. You know what? I got a caller that just popped up here. I'm sorry about that. About 10 minutes ago, I'm going to bring and see who this is.
Yeah. Well,
hello.
Hello there, Norm? Matt. Yeah.
Hello, Norm. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I've been hanging on this line for, 15 minutes now?
You know what? I watched a while ago, and then I've been walking around. You know, I pace. When I'm talking, I'm always moving around. I've got an anchor here to walk around, and I walk up this way and that way, and then I go by and I look down at the computer. And the last time I looked, I didn't see anything. And this time I looked and I saw it. So, oh, boy. So how are you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm doing fine. I just wanted to thank you for all your efforts there. I didn't really get to hear the beginning part of the show there because I laid down there on a couch and I fell asleep. And I woke up and I said, oh, man, I'm missing that show. And I went over and turned on the computer and I couldn't find it. And I finally found a show and I tacked on it and then I called in. But I waited and waited and nothing happened. I said, well, I can listen to the show here on the phone.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I'm expecting somebody to call in. I keep a little closer eye on it. But you know me, I tend to rant occasionally. But it's always good to have you call in. And how's Pat doing today? Are you guys getting warm back there yet?
Well, no. Today was nice. I was in the 70s here today. So we can't complain at all. We had the windows open and everything, but it's not real hot.
Well, I am glad because I'm going to tell you, you guys had more than your share of snow. And more than your share of cold this year, and I am glad to finally see the warmth coming and the snow clearing out because you guys have got quite a few friends back there who are really wanting to get out on the streets and do some things, and we're looking forward to doing that. And I wish I could be there. We're getting ready to make this move to Texas, and I'm going to be a whole lot closer to Hurley, Wisconsin, Norm, and we're going to make a trip up there. It is in the plans. When it happens, I'm not quite sure yet. I do know that it won't be in the middle of December because I really don't like the cold.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I don't think we're all really crazy about the weather up here during the wintertime, but, you know, you kind of get used to it. Years ago, it used to snow a lot more. We used to get 17, 18, 24 inches at a crack, but... the last few years have been pretty mild, you know. We get 6-7 inches of snow. That's a lot of snow now for us. And it's good for the deer population and a lot of things like that, too, not to get so much snow. They usually yard up in the winter time, and they usually follow each other around when the snow gets deep, and they don't get the groceries they like to eat and things like that, so... But now it's been pretty bad, pretty nice rather. We've had a pretty decent winter. I don't think anybody can really complain too much about it. I thought I'd tell you that I've been on the telephone with Steve on occasion and a few other people concerning Don. I've got a couple other people that may have given Steve some other information, I don't know. Because I'm the dad, I don't like to get too involved with a conversation with anybody because I'm not supposed to know anything. So I let Steve handle the I give them the name and the phone number and let them go to it. He's probably better at that than I am anyway. So, and Tammy, I talked to her today. I think she's on her way to Duluth for her hospital situation. And she'll be laid up for a while. I think she took her laptop with her and a bunch of brochures that we've had printed up concerning Mr. Madden, or whatever you want to call him, and the district attorney and Connie. So maybe we'll get the word out with those pamphlets. And I know it's getting close to time when we're going to have to start getting signatures, recall signatures. So there's a lot of things going on. We're working at it, but sometimes it's just a slow process.
It is a slow process, but it's a steady process. And I'll tell you, I do a lot on the internet, and I've seen in my lifetime a lot of different projects and different things where people work together, and I've never seen anything like this one. You've got so many friends, Norm, you and Pat and Don and that are just every week something's going on. It has not stopped. The momentum has not stopped for the last 2 years, and I'm honored to be a part of it. I really am, because I think it's bigger than Don, and I think it's bigger than Pat and Norm. I'm a firm believer that this is a bad part of the whole system. And there's going to be a day when Norm, you and Pat and I and Steve and Bob, we'll be long gone from this earth. And those behind us, my nieces and your family will be standing there. And this is something that affects the future. And I think there's a lot of people surrounding you that love you guys very much, that understand that. And I think that's where part of the passion comes in, is it's something that's got to be fixed. We want it to be fixed for a lot of reasons. But one of those reasons is because someday somebody else might be in this situation again if we don't fix it. And we don't want that to happen, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I really wouldn't like to see anyone else in this kind of a position for particularly this amount of time. It's been pretty close to 16 years now, and Pat and I, we've been working at it, and fortunate for us, we were able to hook up with Steve and Bob and several other people, so we're pretty lucky, I have to say. I got to consider ourselves pretty lucky, and you're certainly one of them. We don't talk and call, we don't call you that often, but we certainly appreciate all your efforts, believe me. There's several other people that we feel the same way about.
You know what, that's important. It is, because there's so many people, and you mentioned Steve. Steve and Bob, talk about two tigers by the tail. And Stephanie, boy, all I know is I wouldn't want to be sheriff. Bruno, I wouldn't want to be Judge Madden, and I wouldn't want to be D.A. Lipsky if I had Bob, Steve, Kim Selves, Tammy Silver, any of those guys, and they were doing this, I wouldn't. I'd just lay down and go, Uncle. I said, forget it. Some of the interviews that Steve and Bob have done and some of the digging that Bob and Stephanie have done, and it just never stops. It just keeps on keeping on, and it's important. And I'm a firm believer. I'm a real firm believer that this is going to continue with the same momentum until the moment that you see Don walk through your front door. I'm a firm believer in that.
I'll be waiting for that.
I know it.
I'll be waiting to see that happen. I kind of forgot about Stephanie. She really isn't somebody to forget about. She's pretty quiet in the background. I don't call and talk to her. She's way over there in Scotland, so it's pretty hard for me to get our thanks to her. But if she's listening.
Definitely, definitely. Because, boy, I tell you, a trooper. I love looking at her pictures on the internet. She takes some beautiful pictures. It's a beautiful area she's in. And for her to put in the effort, clear around there, and I know she's from the Hurley area originally,
But to have somebody clear on the other side of the world putting that much effort into it on a daily basis, and not just, you know, I do it a little bit easier. You know, I do some Facebook posts, and I do the show, and it takes some time out of my life. But Stephanie, she spends hours and hours digging and digging and researching. I think one of the first things that I ever said on the show a couple of years ago with Steve and Bob is, I told Bob, I sure am glad you like to research. Because I hate to research. If I had to be the one digging up all this stuff, we'd all be in trouble. But Stephanie just keeps going, and she keeps digging, and every week she's got something new that she's dug. And I agree with you, Norm. She's quite a gal, and we don't get to hear from her very often because she's on a different time zone, and she doesn't have the ease that we do to call in. So I know she'd love to call into the show a lot. And just doesn't get a chance. But you're right. She's in the background, and boy, is she a powerhouse.
Amen. You said a mouthful there. I really appreciate all her efforts. Maybe one day we'll get a chance to talk.
Most definitely. And we're going to – I do know one thing, that the day that Dawn comes walking through your front door is going to be a very, very close day to a giant, giant reunion with a lot of people. And I will walk from Texas to Hurley, Wisconsin, if I have to be there. and I'm sure, I am sure that we've got enough people that we will find somehow, some way to get Stephanie from Scotland all the way out here to the United States. She was here in the States this last, just not too long ago. So we'll make sure that she's there for that and all the many people. I hate trying to list people because I always know I'm going to forget somebody, you know, but all you got to do is go to any of the websites of the people that are involved in this. Go to Norman Pat's website or their Facebook or go to Stephanie's or Bob or Steve and see the people that consistently like the Dawn Miller stuff and share the Dawn Miller stuff. The people that are really active that we see doing a lot of stuff is a pretty good sized group. But the people that are just paying attention, that's huge. I was laughing with my niece last night as I was going through some of the Dawn Miller posts, getting ready to look and kind of get an idea of where I wanted to go today. And some of the people that I didn't even realize were really liking some of this stuff. And there's a huge team, and they're praying, and they're posting, And they're working hard, and it's going to happen. I know I'm overly optimistic sometimes, but this one I don't believe I'm overly optimistic on. I believe it's getting closer and closer. And Norm, I made a great connection. I don't know if you were tuned in yet when I was talking about it, but there's a new station. There's a new news station coming to the air called One America, and I made contact this morning with one of the producers. And so I sent her off with the anatomyofawrongfulconviction.com website. So in 4.5 years, when she gets done reading all the stuff that's in there, no, when she's know is going to be just shocked. And just we're going to keep going. And my goal last year, and it didn't work, was to get Dawn home by Christmas. My goal this year is to get Dawn home by Christmas. If we don't, next Christmas, we're just going to keep on keeping on because it's important.
Okay. Yeah, well, I really appreciate it, and so does Pat. We don't get on for any amount of time. I don't know. I can't carry on a conversation for too long with you guys. You're so far ahead of me. I listen to Steve and Bob once in a while on their new program. But I can't comprehend a big majority of that. You start talking some of the lengthy articles that you have on there leaves me out in left field somewhere. So I'm a little more simpler person than a lot of the people that are on that program. So I kind of leave that be. I listen to it, and they had a nice conversation on there the other night I was listening to. That guy seemed to impress me quite a lot. So, well, thank you again. I'm going to leave you close the show there. I thank you for putting it on, and I wish I had woke up a little earlier. I probably could have added a few other things here, but we'll get it next time. Thank you again, and
well, I think
hope everything in your family is all right.
You know what? Everything's really actually going very, very good out here. We're doing good. I'm homeschooling my three nieces for 4 weeks, and boy, it's been fun. We've accomplished a lot, so we're doing really good. And give my big love. Give Pat a big love for me. And you guys are on our minds all the time. We'll be praying for you tomorrow morning at Ladies Bible Class. Everybody that sits around that table knows who Don is and knows the story, and we pray for him each week. And you're in my prayers, and just send my love out to everybody that's there. And we appreciate always your support. Norm, you and Pat have been a huge support behind this program for 2 years, and it means a whole lot to us. It really does, because, boy, let me tell you, you guys are the one taking the huge brunt of this, and it's not fair, and one of these days, it's going to be over. So I thank you, Norm, and again, give my love to Pat.
All right, thanks again.
See, ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's about. That's Don's dad. And they haven't had their son for a decade and a half. And that ain't right. Maddie, Lippy, Rooney, do the right thing. Just do the right thing. It's so easy. It's in the nature of man to always fight against doing the right thing. And why it's that way, I don't know. Do the right thing. Let's bring Don home. Bring him home. He needs to be home. He needs to be home with his family. His time is ticking by. He's sitting in that cell. And he's innocent. He's innocent, folks. So with that, we will close out the show. I ask you again, you know, if this is the first time you've heard, you haven't gotten a whole lot of the details of the story. Maybe I should get a podcast, a quick 5-minute podcast where somebody can really quickly do a quick rundown of all the important things in the story, and so that each week we could do that. But the anatomy of wrongful conviction, there are plenty of things on there. Within a few moments, you can realize the calamity of this. I did a post today and trying to get a hold of Jesse Waters, and some of the things that my friends posted in response to that were humbling, and I didn't realize some people were really paying as close attention as they were. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Contending for Truth Radio. This is the Free Don Miller Show. Don Miller, a man wrongfully convicted. Not just wrongfully convicted, maliciously wrongfully convicted. With that, we say good night. Keep on keeping on.
Just go wrong, make you wanna holler and shout, and throw your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. I'll take it one day.